Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
One day, your heart will stop beating, and none of your fears will matter. What will matter is how you live. What's up? Moneymakers, this is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Terrence in Corinth, Texas. How are you this wonderful morning, Mahara?
I'm doing great. How are you, Terrence?
We're going to get 5 days of sunshine this week. Can you imagine it?
Woo-hoo! I'm seeing it in my mind for you right now.
Good morning, Mahara and everybody. Michaelin in Minnesota.
Hi, Michaelin. Good morning.
Yay. Glad to be here.
Good morning, everyone. Isabel, Florida.
Hi, Isabel. How's your morning?
Doing great, thank you.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Kathy Early in Idaho, good morning. Woohoo! Kathy Early, we're glad you're here.
Hey, Kathy! Woohoo! Way to go, Kathy. This is Lori from Natchez, Washington. Hi, Mahara.
Hi, Lori. Great to hear your voice this morning. Welcome to the call.
Welcome to a new week. Woo!
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Wake up.
Hi, Adele.
Hi, honey.
Who else is with us this morning?
Good morning, Mahara. This is a boy from Detroit. Lionel from Detroit, Michigan.
Lionel, the voice. And Tony, the man of steel. Great to have you gentlemen on the call.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Good morning, Amy. Great to hear from you.
Hi, Amy.
Good morning, Karen. Good
morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hi, Andre. Good morning, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Josh Bayless from Kansas.
Hey, Josh. What's going on?
Hey, Josh.
Good morning, it's Angela in California.
Who is that in California?
Angela, good morning.
Angela, good morning and welcome to the call. You guys are doing a great job of keeping the
lights. There's kitty toys in there, but you smell it.
Press star 6 after you say your name so we don't hear you knocking around and stuff like that, okay? Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Heidi Nuttall, Montana.
Good morning, Montana. And who is the gentleman?
Hi, Mahara. This is Tim in North Carolina.
Heidi Nuttall, Pinesdale, Montana.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Bill Wentz, Rochester, New York.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. Herbert from New York.
Hi, Herbert. We're glad you're with us.
All right.
Good morning, Mario from New York.
Hey, Mario.
How you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. You ready to get things rolling?
Absolutely.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from New York.
Hi, Charity.
Jay Rizzo in Chicago.
Jay Rizzo, what's happening?
What's up, baby girl?
Good things happening in the ATL.
I know it is, baby, because you're there.
Hey, man, rock and roll this morning. It's Shirley.
Aloha. Aloha, Mihira.
Elliot, what's happening in Arkansas?
It is gorgeous.
Good morning, Mihira. Phyllis in Missouri.
Hi, lovely Phyllis. Good morning.
Carrie in Arkansas.
Good morning, Mihira. Super Duper Stan here in North Carolina.
Hey, Super Duper Stan. We're glad you're here.
Oh, happy to be here.
Good morning, Mihira. Todd Young, Baltimore.
Todd Nuclear Young, welcome to the call, sir.
Thank you.
Kitty from Arkansas.
Good morning in Arkansas. Welcome to the Thinking Pro Rich call. Get focused, get fired up. We're about to get started.
Good morning, Mihira. It's Chanel in California.
Hi, Chanel. Good morning, love.
Sitting in our mind
just waiting to be brought alive. And then when we study that idea, when we ponder it, when we apply it, when we take action to live according to that idea, and then we see the results play out in our lives, and we have testimony added unto that, that idea begins to have a soul, and then we own the idea. And that's really what we're looking for here, I believe. We're looking for depth. We're looking to send our roots down deep into the earth. We're not just looking to hear ideas and be able to repeat them, be able to regurgitate them. We're not just looking to be able to be parrots, as one of my old mentors used to say. He said, you know, a lot of people out there have parrot syndrome where they hear something and they repeat it. They hear something and they repeat it. And that's great on a surface level. We do want to do that. We want to learn. We want to teach because that helps us to solidify it. But we also want to act and send those roots down deep into the earth so that we have a soul behind our ideas and so that we're able to increase our freedom as we increase our knowledge, as we increase our choices. So keep that in mind, my friends. True freedom is handcuffed to knowledge. Interesting thought, isn't it, to think that freedom might be handcuffed to something? It is handcuffed to knowledge. I remember Jim Rohn used to talk about ignorance, and he said, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know will hurt you. And I love that. And we're on this call, we are not guilty of being ignorant because we've made the decision to seek out further knowledge. We've made the decision to pick up the phone today and plug into a community of people who can lift, inspire, and teach. And also, we've made the decision to study the laws of success on a deeper level. So give yourselves a huge round of applause. Give yourself a pat on the back for being someone special today because you are. And guys and gals, I want to know if you're excited about becoming more free, if you're excited about handcuffing your freedom to knowledge because you know that as your knowledge grows, so does your freedom. Does that idea excite you? Are you excited to be more free today? If you are, let's kick this call off with some freedom roar into the line as I unmute the phones right now. What a way to wake up, huh? Someone ought to record that roar, and you know, we could install that as our alarm clock for you know, our phones or however it is that we wake up. What a way to wake up to that, right? The freedom roar into the line. So, guys, first thing we're going to do is go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula. Is there someone out there in Think and Grow Rich land who has that ready for us and can lead us through that this morning? Star 6 and pop on out here if you do.
Hey, Paul, it's Amy in Vegas.
You're so awesome. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Okay, here we go. Major definite purpose. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent and continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. And fifth, I fully realize... Did I miss one?
Nope, you're good.
Did I miss? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud at least once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become an even more self-reliant and successful person. Oh, divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but more wisdom with which to use the riches that you gave me at birth, consisting in the ability to control my own mind to whatever ends I may desire. Amen.
Amen to that. Amy, you are awesome. I believe in you. And guys, one second here. Hey, guys and gals, if you appreciate Amy and you believe in her, let's let her know real quick because that means a lot.
Amy.
I'm wondering if I'm the only one that smiles big when we do that. I just have this big smile here, and all you guys express that belief into another human being. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. And appreciate you guys. Let's go ahead and get to work. We are in the Law of Success 1928 version. You can grab that on our website if you're new to our community at growrichaudios.com. And we are on page 797 of 1170. At the bottom of the page is page 14 in the book on accurate, in that particular section on accurate thought. And Dr. Hill writes, statesmanship and politics are not the only fields in which the accurate thinker must be on guard against the they say chorus. The moment a man begins to make himself felt in the field of industry or business, the chorus becomes active. If a man makes a better mousetrap than his neighbor, the world will make a beaten path to his door, no doubt about that, and in the gang that will trail along will be those who come not to commend but to condemn and to destroy his reputation. The late John H. Patterson, president of the National Cash Register Company, is a notable example of what may happen to a man who builds a better cash register than that of his neighbor. Yet in the mind of the accurate thinker, there is not one scintilla of evidence to support the vicious reports that Mr. Patterson's competitors circulated about him. As for Wilson and Harding, we may only judge how posterity will view them by observing how it has immortalized the names of Lincoln and Washington. Truth alone endures. All else must pass on with time. The object of these references is not to eulogize those who stand in no particular need of eulogy, but it is to direct your attention to the fact that the they say evidence is always subject to the closest scrutiny, and all the more so when it is of a negative or destructive nature. No harm can come from accepting as fact hearsay evidence that is constructive. But its opposite, if accepted at all, should be subjected to the closest inspection possible under the available means of applying the law of evidence. As an accurate thinker, it is both your privilege and your duty to avail yourself of the facts, even though you must go out of your way to get them. If you permit yourself to be swayed to and fro by all manner of information that comes to your attention, you will never become an accurate thinker. And if you do not think accurately, you cannot be sure of attaining the object of your definite chief aim in life. And there's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read this. You are well on the road toward success if you have such a keen conception of life that you never build a plan which contemplates your requesting another person to do that which does not bring that person some corresponding advantage in return for compliance with your request. Great thought. Many a man has gone down to defeat because, due to his prejudice and hatred, he underestimated the virtues of his enemies or competitors. The eyes of the accurate thinker sees facts, not the delusions of prejudice, hate, and envy. An accurate thinker must be something of a good sportsman in that he is fair enough, with himself at least, to look for virtues as well as faults in other people, for it is not without reason to suppose that all men have some of each of these qualities. I do not believe that I can afford to deceive others. I know I cannot afford to deceive myself. This must be the motto of the accurate thinker. With the supposition that these hints are sufficient to impress upon your mind the importance of searching for facts until you are reasonably sure that you have found them, we will take up the question of organizing, classifying, and using these facts. Look once more in the circle of your own acquaintances and find a person who appears to accomplish more with less effort than do any of his associates. Study this man, and you will observe that he is a strategist in that he has learned how to arrange facts so that he brings to his aid the law of increasing returns, which we described in a previous lesson. The man who knows that he is working with facts goes at his task with a feeling of self-confidence, which enables him to refrain from temporizing, hesitating, or waiting to make sure of his ground. He knows in advance what the outcome of his efforts will be, therefore he moves more rapidly and accomplishes more than does the man who must feel his way because he is not sure that he is working with the facts. And I want to answer one little comment here on that thought. I actually shared this with some of my team members this last week, and I'm studying Dan Kennedy, who many of you may know as a great marketer in the field of sales and marketing and copywriting. And one of the ideas that he shared with me that I'm just completely fascinated with is this idea of creating systems in your marketing, or in other words, systematizing your marketing. He said that a lot of people in business will systematize the operation side of their business, but they never think to systematize their marketing. And what he says is possible when you systematize your marketing. What is systemization? It basically is organizing the data that you have, the facts that you have, to structure your marketing in such a way that when you place a piece of marketing at a certain time that you've predetermined, you pretty much know exactly what is going to happen when you deploy that marketing. And isn't that a great example of what Dr. Hill just told us? He says the man who knows that he is working with facts goes at his task with the feeling of self-confidence, which allows that person to not hesitate or waiting to make sure. And then he says he knows in advance what the outcome of his efforts will be. Therefore, he moves more rapidly and accomplishes more. So wouldn't it be nice, think about this for a moment, my friends, wouldn't it be nice, whatever business you're in, wouldn't it be nice to know in advance what is going to happen when you deploy whatever marketing you have scheduled to deploy? That's what accurate thinking, this topic that we're studying, that's the power, that's the peace of mind that it can give us when we employ it in our business efforts. So continuing on here, the man who has learned of the advantages of searching for facts as the foundation of his thinking has gone a very long way toward the development of accurate thinking, but the man who has learned how to separate facts into the important and the unimportant has still gone further. The latter may be compared to the man who uses a trip hammer and thereby accomplishes at one blow more than the former who uses a tack hammer can accomplish with 10,000 blows. Let us analyze briefly a few men who have made it their business to deal with the important or relevant facts pertaining to their life work. If it were not for the fact that this course is being adapted to the practical needs of men and women of the present workaday world, we would go back to the great men of the past, Plato, Aristotle, Epictetus, Socrates, Solomon, Moses, and Christ, and direct attention to their habit of dealing with facts. However, we can find examples nearer our own generation that will serve our purpose to better advantage at this particular point. Inasmuch as this is an age in which money is looked upon as being the most concrete proof of success, let us study a man who has accumulated almost as much of it as has any other man in the history of the world, John D. Rockefeller. Mr. Rockefeller has one quality that stands out like a shining star above all of his other qualities. It is his habit of dealing only with relevant facts pertaining to his life work. As a very young man, and a very poor young man at that, Mr. Rockefeller adopted his definite chief aim, the accumulation of great wealth. It is not my purpose, nor is it any of, any particular advantage to enter into Mr. Rockefeller's method of accumulating his fortune, other than to observe that his most pronounced quality was that of insisting on facts as the basis of his business philosophy. Some there are who say that Mr. Rockefeller was not always fair with his competitors. That may or may not be true. As accurate thinkers, we will leave the point undisturbed. But no one, not even his competitors, ever accused Mr. Rockefeller of forming snap judgments or of underestimating the strength of his competitors. He not only recognized facts that affected his business wherever and whenever he found them, but he made it his business to search for them until he was sure he had found them. Thomas A. Edison is another example of a man who has attained to greatness through the organization, classification, and use of relevant facts. Mr. Edison works with natural laws as his chief aids. Therefore, he must be sure of his facts before he can harness these laws. Every time you press a button and switch on an electric light, remember that it was Mr. Edison's capacity for organizing relevant facts which made this possible. Every time you hear a phonograph, remember that Mr. Edison is the man who made it a reality through his persistent habit of dealing with relevant facts. Every time you see a moving picture, remember that it was born of Mr. Edison's habit of dealing with important and relevant facts. In the field of science, relevant facts are the tools with which men and women work. Mere information or hearsay evidence is of no value to Mr. Edison, yet he might have wasted his life working with it, as millions of other people are doing. Hearsay evidence could never have produced the incandescent electric light, the phonograph, or the moving picture, and if it had, the phenomenon would have been an accident. In this lesson, we are trying to prepare the student to avoid accidents. The question now arises as to what constitutes an important and relevant fact. The answer depends entirely upon what constitutes your definite chief aim in life. For an important and relevant fact is any fact which you can use without interfering with the rights of others in the attainment of that purpose. All other facts, as far as you are concerned, are superfluous and of minor importance at most. However, you can work just as hard in organizing, classifying, and using unimportant and irrelevant facts as you can in dealing with their opposites, but you will not accomplish as much. Up to this point, we have been discussing only one factor of accurate thought, that which is based upon deductive reasoning. Perhaps this is the point at which some of the students of this course will have to think along lines with which they are not familiar. For we come now to the discussion of thought, which does more than gather, organize, and combine facts. Let us call this creative thought. That you may understand why it is called creative thought, it is necessary briefly to study the process of evolution through which the thinking man has been created. Thinking man has been a long time on the road of evolution, and he has traveled a very long way. In the words of Judge T. Troward in Bible Mystery and Bible Meaning, perfected man is the apex of the evolutionary pyramid, and this by a necessary sequence. And guys, I'm going to issue just a quick disclaimer here. It's obvious from the study of Dr. Napoleon Hill's writings that he was a proponent or a believer in evolution. And I just wanted to preface what we're about to read with the disclaimer that it's not necessary that you believe in evolution or disbelieve in evolution. I think evolution can be somewhat of a controversial belief. And I just wanted to let everyone know you don't have to believe or disbelieve one way or another. I think we can still gather a lot of great information from what Napoleon Hill is teaching us here. So he says, let us trace thinking man through the five evolutionary steps through which we believe he has traveled, beginning with the very lowest, namely, 1, the mineral period. Here we find life in its lowest form, lying motionless and inert, a mass of mineral substances with no power to move. 2, Then comes the vegetable period. Here we find life in a more active form with intelligence sufficient to gather food, grow, and reproduce, but still unable to move from its fixed moorings. Three, then comes the animal period. Here we find life in a still higher and more intelligent form with the ability to move from place to place. Four, then comes the human or thinking man period, where we find life in its highest known form. The highest because man can think, and because thought is the highest known form of organized energy in the realm of thought, man knows no limitations. He can send his thoughts to the stars with the quickness of a flash of lightning. He can gather facts and assemble them in new and varying combinations. He can create hypotheses and translate them into physical reality through thought. He can reason both inductively and deductively. And there's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read this. It says, salesmanship consists very largely in knowing and in showing the prospective buyer the real merits of the goods or service you are trying to sell. Number five, then comes the spiritual period. On this plane, the lower forms of life described in the previously mentioned four periods converge and become infinitude in nature. At this point, thinking man has unfolded, expanded, and grown until he has projected his thinking ability into infinite intelligence. As yet, thinking man is but an infant in this fifth period, for he has not learned how to appropriate to his own use this infinite intelligence called spirit. Moreover, with a few rare exceptions, man has not yet recognized thought as the connecting link which gives him access to the power of infinite intelligence. These exceptions have been such men as Moses, Solomon, Christ, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Confucius, and a comparatively small number of others of their type. Since their time, we have had many who partly uncovered this great truth, yet the truth itself is as available now as it was then. To make use of creative thought, one must work very largely on faith, which is the chief reason why more of us do not indulge in this sort of thought. The most ignorant of the race can think in terms of deductive reasoning in connection with matters of a purely physical and material nature, but to go a step higher and think in terms of infinite intelligence is another question. The average man is totally at sea the moment he gets beyond that which he can comprehend with the aid of his five physical senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and tasting. Infinite intelligence works through none of these agencies, and we cannot invoke its aid through any of them. How then may one appropriate the power of infinite intelligence is but a natural question, and the answer is through creative thought. To make clear the exact manner in which this is done, I will now call your attention to some of the preceding lessons of this course through which you have been prepared to understand the meaning of creative thought. And hey, guys and gals, I think this is a great place for us to pause. We'll continue on tomorrow with Dr. Hill's instruction on how to utilize creative thought to connect with the infinite, which is basically what he's saying. And I don't know about you guys, but I find it really fascinating that we're studying a chapter called Accurate Thought, right? Knowing the facts, being able to gather useful facts, and now he's talking about faith, right? Which on the surface level would seem to be two very contradictory ideas. You know, sometimes you got science on the one hand and religion on the other. You got facts on the one hand, you got faith on the other. And sometimes it seems like those two are, you know, like opposing forces to one another. And what Dr. Hill just did is he said, we got to start with useful facts, and then we got to end with faith and tapping into the infinite. So I just think that's interesting to know, if nothing else. And I just maybe wanted to share one little thing about facts and faith and so on and so forth, because sometimes, at least it's been my experience, sometimes it's been my experience that people have admonished me to have faith in spite of the facts. Like people would say, hey, just ignore the facts. Just completely ignore what you're looking at and just believe anyway. And that's always been a little bit of a challenge for me, because it seems to me that, you know, if there is infinite intelligence, if there is God, if God is, you know, perfect, all-wise, all-knowing, that God would not have us ignore that which seems to be truth, but rather embrace that which seems to be truth to come to new and better conclusions. So one of the things that I heard one time that's kind of stuck with me that I think is useful to think about, especially in the context of accurate thinking on the one hand and faith on the other, and then maybe if we can imagine accurate thinking in our left hand and faith in the right hand, and then just kind of like bringing those two hands together and clasping them together so they're joined. One of the things that I heard one time is someone said, faith is meant to bridge the gap from what we do know to what we don't know. It's not meant to fly in the face of that which we do know or to contradict that which we do know. It's meant to bridge the gap. So it seems to me that makes a lot of sense. Like, we need to do the best we can to organize the facts, the useful facts that we can, but those facts can only take us so far. Isn't that true? Those facts can only take us so far, at least at our present moment in time. They'll always take us so far, and then beyond that, it seems like there is faith. Faith is there to be the bridge between what we know, what we can gather, and then to be that bridge that we can step on and step into that better future, step into that vision, step into that unknown something that we need to have it a little bit known, because we need that faith, right? It seems to me that's where faith and faith and belief and infinite intelligence maybe, you know, falls into the picture. So those are a couple of thoughts that were stimulated for me as we went through this particular reading, and I am excited to hear your thoughts. Just another disclaimer, remind everyone, this isn't a religious call. We're not here to, you know, convert anyone to any, you know, particular belief system, and so please keep that in mind. You know, whenever we get into some of these topics, I just want to remind everyone that we like to keep this a place that's safe for everybody, whether you're in that, you know, whatever company you're in, whatever business you're in, whatever religious faith you might have as a background, we like to keep this a safe place. So just keep that in mind as we go throughout this, and also remember that this is not a company specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are part of our community, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. So with that, hey guys, I'm excited to hear what's come up for you. So hold on 1 second, let me unmute the line.
This is
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning. This
first,
is Nicole in Idaho.
Okay, we got Nicole and then Terrence. Hey, Nicole, good morning.
Good morning. This is such a great topic, because I think just by the mere study of this material, at least for me, I am becoming a more accurate thinker. The title of Napoleon Hill's book could very well be Think Accurately and Grow Rich. And one of the riches I have, one of the most...
Let me clear the line for you. I'm sorry. Hey, guys, one second. Hey, guys, if you could please remember to just mute your line. If you've unmuted your line, you can mute your line on your phone while the speaker's speaking. That would sure help us a lot. Okay. Just Nicole, star 6 and come back, please.
Hi there. One of the riches that is most valuable to me by the study of this material is that I am thinking more accurately. And I see this manifested in my ability to watch my thought forms and compare them to how they support my major definite purpose or that they don't support my major definite purpose. And that's what I gauged them against. One time I was wrestling with a particular nasty thought, gremlins you might call, and I said to myself, oh my goodness, how long am I going to have to be challenged by these negative thoughts? And at that moment, I thought, I've given so much power to these negative thoughts. I even had a name for it, the giant negator. And I just immediately said, you know, based on my knowledge of this material, I will continue to battle those negative thoughts forever, for as long as it takes. But more importantly, I then decided that they were pygmies, not negators, not giants. They were little and small, and that I could just let them slip away and pass from my mind easily. I saw a man who was panhandling along the road, and he held up a sign that said, "Fell upon hard times." Think about those words, "fell upon hard times." And I said to myself, isn't that interesting? That's a line I picked up from Jim Rohn that he suggests that you use when you're evaluating some thoughts to put distance between your action and reaction. And I said to myself, isn't that interesting? I choose not to fall upon hard times, but to demand of myself good times, demand of myself to take the actions required to have what I want in life. I've chose to carry before me a countenance of poise, of purpose, a sign that I'm planning for good times and to succeed. I really appreciate the support of this call and the people that come out on this call, and I encourage those of you that haven't come out, that you just listen. There's value in that, and there's also value in learning how to speak your major definite purpose in a loud and presented way that carries it forth into the universe. If you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do so. May you all have a wonderful day. May the sun shine bright on you.
You're so awesome, Nicole. Powerful thoughts. Thank you so much. Terrence, Starter 6, come on out, sir.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Terrence was next, so yeah, go ahead, Terrence.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. You know, something hit me this morning, Paul, that well, it just makes an awful lot of sense to me. You know, when we talk about accurate knowledge and we talk about faith, you know, I kind of come from old school, and old school means that, you know, when your marketing activities, you market to pretty much a finite audience. You understand how the rules work, and you market to that audience, and you have faith if you market to that audience in the correct way that you're going to get the results that you're aspiring towards. However, we deal, and especially in the cyber world, we deal with another set of facts that, in terms of our marketing efforts, we're utilizing old paradigms. We talked about paradigms last week with the guy that was in the subway with his kids. And we view our marketing and our marketplace in one way. And we don't think about how the rules have changed with the cyber world, where we're dealing with an infinite marketplace as opposed to a finite marketplace. But we're applying the same rules that we apply when we're dealing with a finite marketplace, and not understanding the I call it the law of exponential growth, where our marketing activities can go way beyond what we thought, but we're living in the old beliefs. Once I begin to understand that there are other laws that are at work in my cyber marketing, that now I can begin to develop the faith based upon accurate thinking versus the faulty thinking of dealing with an old model. And I think that is just very impactful for me, because once I understand that, I have faith that my marketing efforts are going to succeed, and I can move on and really step into my future. And with that, for those of us who have not experienced the kind of growth that we've wanted to experience in our in our businesses and have not gotten the kind of results that we wanted, maybe we ought to think a little bit about are we really applying accurate knowledge to the realm that we're dealing in now, and have, and if we apply these new rules, we can perhaps develop the faith that we need to move us forward into our better futures. That's all I have, and I'd like everybody to have a great week.
Hey, Terrence, such a great thought, my friend. Appreciate that. And, you know, those accurate facts, those accurate, that accurate knowledge can increase our faith in the marketplace. One example is I recently studied the market that that I market to, and I realized that just in the little market that I market to, 55,000 new people join every single week, and the entire market size is 77 million people. And when I discovered those facts, what do you think it did to my faith? It just like jacked it through the roof, because like, oh my gosh, this market is huge. So a great thought, facts in relation to the markets that we're seeing. 1 second. There was someone from Chicago, Star 6. Who was that? Star 6.
That was me, Jay Rizzle in Chicago. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Think and Grow Rich family. What's up? Okay, so from what I got out of this reading that we just did here is I feel like ultimately what we're talking about is trust. When we're talking about facts and we're talking about faith, I believe ultimately what we're talking about is trust here. I'm going to give a couple examples. One is there's faith in people, right? Facts can sometimes what we think are like the majority doesn't necessarily mean that that's true. So we could think the majority is not open to certain things or necessarily trusting a stranger, right? Because a stranger, we're taught our whole lives not to trust strangers, right? But if you have faith in people or choose to have faith in people, you will find, at least in my experience, that there are more good people, more people willing to help than there are more people not willing to help or more people that are bad. One example of that is there's a community online called Couch Surfers. And basically what they do is they allow people who are traveling instead of getting a hotel, they allow them to crash on their couch when they're traveling somewhere. Now, that would be total trust or faith in people that, hey, this is a good person. I can feel safe to crash on their couch while I'm visiting someplace I've never been before. And, hey, maybe they might even show me that place in a whole new light, in a whole new different way that I've ever seen or ever could see on my own. For myself personally, I grew up with a mistrust in police. I grew up seeing and experiencing a lot of police brutality in Chicago here and to people I know and people I haven't. And so I grew up with this mistrust in police. But then my father put a question to me one time. He said, well, how do you feel about the police? And I was like, well, I don't like the police. I don't trust them. And he was like, well, who are you going to call if you're in trouble? And that made me think about my trust in cops. I'm like, dang, I'm kind of at the mercy of trusting these people. And in my life, I've had the opportunity a couple of times to meet really good police officers who helped me see that, you know, how hard the job it really is to be a police officer, how hard it is, how scary it is, what they're faced with. And that made me kind of take a shift in my thinking about police officers. I still struggle with it, but I work toward building my trust in police. And then the last thing I'll say is faith and facts do tend to go hand in hand. Success, we'll take that as an example. Success is real. That's the fact part. And I can have the faith that I can be successful because many people have been successful before me. So that means if they were successful, if they did something that could change the world, then so could I. And so the fact is success is real. People have done it. It can be duplicated, and it can be duplicated in my life. That's all I have for you, Paul, and have a good day, family.
Awesome thoughts, Jay. Sure appreciate that.
Hi,
right,
Anthony
you.
From beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
Hey, what's up, Anthony? Good morning.
What is up, Paul Hutchins? What's going on, Think and Grow Rich family? How are you feeling this morning, Paul?
Feeling feeling great, man. Thanks for asking.
I love hearing that laugh. I know you're feeling good. Good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family. And, man, what a beautiful day to be alive. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about accurate thought and faith and how exactly do they correlate one with the other. And in the beginning of the Paul call, or towards actually the end before you broke into going into the actual sharing portion of the call, you talked about, you know, this not being a religious call. And it's not a religious call, but it is a spiritual call, because I believe what Dr. Napoleon Hill did with this call, with this information and all the information basically that he covers in his books is that he stripped away the dogma, he stripped away all the, you know, fanaticism of religion, and he took the actual essence of the laws that nature operates by. And those are just the spiritual laws that we operate by every single day, and he put it in his book. So in essence, this is a spiritual call. It's not a religious call, but it is a spiritual call. And I love how Dr. Hill covered one of the things here with accurate thought. And then he realized, and like you said, Paul, he realized that accurate thinking and accurate thinking according to the five senses only take you but so far. And then there comes to a realm where you want to get into the spiritual aspect of it. And the spiritual aspect of it is more so where you leave behind your five senses and you get into the creative imagination. And going into the creative imagination, you have to realize when you get into the creative imagination that it corresponds with all the information that you gathered from accurate thinking. So if we're using in marketing, if we're using it in business and we want to develop something new, it has to be according to the facts that we gathered. Otherwise, that is just delusion. You see, so there's a big difference and there's a correlation, because you can't leave behind reasoning and thinking and accurate thought. You can't leave that behind and say, I'm just going to go into this, you know, this crazy realm and just start, you know, making up my own stuff that doesn't correspond to the laws of nature and doesn't correspond to accurate thought. So, I mean, these laws that we're talking about and, you know, like Dr. Hill said, they cross over into the spiritual, and to be able to start to use this, you know, and to use this power, you know, it has to be with faith, because like Dr. Hill said, that's the only way that we can tap into infinite intelligence, you know. And there's a thread that runs across religion. There's a thread that runs across philosophy. There's a thread that runs across alchemy. There's a thread that runs across any type of information that we cover here on Earth, period. There's a thread, and it all has to do with, you know, that individual tapping into that higher spiritual aspect of the laws that govern nature, but they don't leave behind accurate thought and reasoning. And we marry those two together, then we're performing an aspect of alchemy. We're actually hiring our vibration of mind, and we're actually putting together these two aspects, and we're actually using the being on the creative plane. And, you know, we can develop anything new. We can develop, you know, new ideals, new, you know, ways of doing things, and, you know, just tapping into those two things and marrying them together. So that's what I wanted to share, and turn it back over to you, Paul.
Awesome thoughts, Anthony. Thank you so much. Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Coach Ray Briggs.
Coach Ray, what is up, man?
What's going on? Good morning, Paul. How you feeling this morning?
Feeling great. How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling great too. this is so right on point. We talk about accurate thinking, man. I think my thoughts kind of streamlined here. Let me go with this here. Okay, so I had one of my mentors share some with me, and they said that, you know, us as humans, we're three-part beings. You know, we're body, soul, and spirit. And when you were reading over talking about accurate thinking and you started transitioning to talking about faith, the thing that jumped out to me was a lot of times it seems, you know, as we're going through our life, and yeah, we understand, you know, we need to take care of our bodies, right? We need to, we need to exercise or stretch or do different things so our fitness feels right. I think, you know, for the most part, everybody understands that concept. Now, whether they do it, they understand it, right? The second part, our soul, and this is where it really got interesting for me, because we're talking about accurate thinking. He said, our soul is comprised of what we think, how we feel, and what we're going to do. And it seems that, you know, whatever walk of life, whatever it is that we're doing, you know, there's a certain way of thinking where it's based off of how we may feel, you know, what we want to do, the way we want to do it. And a lot of that stuff is comprised of, you know, our soul, man. But when you talk about the spirit side of us or energy or these vibrations that we put out, you know, that's where the, it seems that's where the accurate thinking comes from. You know, and it's the battle between setting our minds, having the right mindset on wanting to operate and live and do according to how our spirits lead us, how our energies lead us, how our vibrations lead us. And when we move and operate from that standpoint, the things that we can think of, the relationships that we can develop, you know, the value we can bring to the marketplace, it's just so much more confidence in when you're doing that, when you're taking action in your business, in your marketing efforts, in your relationship building. You know, you feel like something fruitful is being produced from that exchange or from that relationship, because we're operating from that spirit side. We get out of, you know, our way of thinking, our way of doing. You know, we've all been guilty of maybe saying something we shouldn't have said, or maybe, you know, well, this is the way I've always done, so I'm going to keep on doing it. You know, so I think it's so, so important that we understand that, because that's where our faith lies. Because we know, no one can deny that feeling, you know, that you have when you know you did something good for somebody else. You know, or that feeling that you have when you know you just had a great conversation with somebody that just really inspired you or inspired them. You know, and I had the opportunity this past weekend to connect with, it was crazy, multiple people that are on this call, you know, and I mean, just from walking by, and it's like, hey, you know, it's like, you know, you have this inside joke or this inside connection that nobody else understands, and I think it's because, you know, that accurate thinking from what we talk about here on this call. So, you know, that's just my thoughts as going through this. I hope I'm not rambling too long, get a little bit of value out of that, but I'm fired up. I mean, I got a connection. Back to you, Paul, man. Yeah.
Coach Ray, we love you, man. Great thoughts, buddy. Sure appreciate that.
Hey, Paul.
Star 6 is next. Hey, Larry.
Good morning. Good morning, family. You know, I was thinking of a couple of things. One is, we were reading this this morning. I felt like I didn't have the hammer let down. I mean, I had the trigger hammer let down. I mean, as Dr. Napoleon Hill was saying in there, that I think for me, one of the things that, which is a breakthrough for me, because if you know what your problem is, then you can start to solve it. If you don't know what it is, you'll never solve it. And so I think I focus too often on trying to get all of the facts detailed and understood, and I'm not necessarily working on the right facts. I'm just working on facts that take me away from what should be the primary facts that give me knowledge. So I think that was kind of a breakthrough for me this morning. Came at a heavy price, hit me hard. But that's an important thing that he said, that we have to really focus on quantifying and qualifying the right facts, not just facts. And then I was, as we've been talking also about the spiritual side, and this isn't a spiritual call, and I really liked what Coach Ray just said about, you know, connecting to the ether, and we've obviously, it's something we've studied for a long time throughout this and Think and Grow Rich book as well, that there's a side that we can connect mentally with people even that are hundreds of miles away. When we really put this mastermind to use. And the thing that hit me when Coach Ray was talking was that it doesn't matter whether that person has the same philosophical or religious beliefs that we have. It's the way that the greater good, or whatever you call, I call him God, but whatever that greater force is, it's not requiring that my connection with the other people in my mastermind be a spiritual connection, yet it's a connection that can physically happen, even though we might not always have the same thoughts and beliefs. So I got that from you, Coach Ray. That's really great. Thanks a lot.
Great thoughts, Larry. Great thoughts. It is a beautiful thing. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Pat Simpson.
Hey, Pat, the man with the smile in his very voice. How you doing?
Oh, I'm always blessed and highly favored, brother. Always blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
I'm doing great, man.
Oh, man. Accurate thinking. Accurate thinking starts, I believe, with faith. You know, I had a very funny situation happen to me this weekend. I spent a lot of time away from my wife recently, traveling, doing things, you know, building out our company. And, you know, we do silly things, and we send each other things that we probably shouldn't send in cyberspace. And somebody has snatched something that was intimate between me and my wife and decided that they were going to try to blackmail me. And accurate thinking, you know, they said out all this stuff about how they were going to destroy what I was trying to build, all kinds of silly, crazy stuff, which is pretty funny. So I, of course, called my lawyer, see what my rights were, went to the police, see how I can move, and then decided to laugh with the assailant, you know, as they put up their last threat to me on the inbox on Facebook. You know, I sat back and I said, hey, I talked to all the people that you inboxed me that you said you were going to email, and they thought it would be a pretty good joke and pretty good promotion for my book. So if you decide that you want to do your move, let's see if we can catch you with the police faster than you can actually make your move. And we laughed. I laughed. You know, accurate thinking, you know, some people might have panicked and thought something crazy could happen to themselves. And, of course, you know, Facebook shut down their account and, you know, they're on their tail a little bit. So it's funny how things can happen and how easily, you know, you can be thrown off if you don't believe that you're always in the right when you're doing good things. So accurate thinking lets you start and always end with faith. I just thought I'd throw that out there with you guys. I love you. Find your inner smile and know that all things are blessed.
You're awesome, Pat. You never cease to amaze me, my friend. Thank you for sharing that.
Bill Moyes?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Boy, you know, I so much look forward to hearing your voice on Monday morning and all the other smiling faces on this call. It really starts my Monday out in just a really great place. So I want to thank everybody for that. I wanted to agree with Anthony on his comment that this is not a religious call, but it's a spiritual call. I agree so much with that because at some point when you really are excelling, there's something greater than you have to kind of rely on. And to me, religion is your practice. Spirituality is your connection. So anyway, I agree 100% with that. But what I wanted to mention with, you know, it's amazing to me how this material is almost 100 years old now, and rarely does he say something that's out of date. I mean, you would think 90% of stuff would be out of date, but it's rare that something is dated. And today he was talking about, you know, if you have a better mousetrap, people will be a path to your door. Well, that's so untrue, at least in America, where we don't really need anything. It's probably true in Western Europe. It's probably not true in places like Africa, where the middle class is the fastest growing middle class in the world. There, all the consumer products companies are selling everything, and they're going crazy. But recently, I met some guys that had an incredible program, software they've been working on for 12 years, that integrates all your company, all your communication methods into one program, your CRM, your product distributions. So, for example, if you put up a post on your WordPress account and you send it out to all these social medias and somebody came from LinkedIn, they go there, they look at your post, and then they go to your website and they buy something, you can look at that purchase and see where it came from, which is really great information. And he said the difference between small companies and big companies is big data. Big companies have big data. They spend hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars on data to know where things are coming from. So, you know, these guys have worked on this for 12 years, and it sounds like incredible software. But whether or not it'll be a success or not depends on really marketing. I mean, how many people hear about it? So the better mousetrap, there's a lot of mousetraps that have been sold that weren't better, but somebody had better marketing. So I know that's part of the call today, is encourage everyone who are marketers to continue their process, because that's really how people get the work. So y'all have a wonderful week, and back to you, Paul. Thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Bill. Sure appreciate you. And, hey, I'd be interested on some info if that product's ready for market and it's relatively affordable, because, again, yeah, data and accurate thinking, that's, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, that's really what we're talking about, is knowing exactly what's happening in our business on a data level. So really appreciate those thoughts, man.
It is available, Paul, and I will send you some information on it.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that.
Okay. Give it a bless.
Uh-huh. Yep. Bye. Star 6, who's next? We have 2 minutes left.
Hey, Paul. Frank from Delaware.
What's up, Frank?
Hey, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family, and good morning to you, Paul. And I just wanted to say that I love you all, and so appreciate this call every day. You know, it's interesting that in the call, you know, everybody wanted to, you know, say whether Napoleon Hill believes in evolution or he believes in spirituality or whatever. But I think that's such a personal journey that everybody can figure it out for themselves. If they want to feel that it's something that evolution chose for us, evolution chose to have us have the ability to manipulate some energy. Okay, let's say that. You don't have to believe personally that it's a spiritual journey. You could say it's an evolutionary journey. But whatever the case may be, this philosophy works for us. It's just getting in touch with our the part of our bodies or the part of our minds that works most of the time, that controls most of our lives, and that's our subconscious. So whatever the journey turns out for you, to be spiritual or energy or evolution, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just doing what we have to do for our lives. Thank you very much, Paul. Back to you.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that thought. And hey, guys, stay with me for just like another 60 seconds. I wanted to give you one final thought that kind of wraps this all up together, I think, that can help us. I wanted to share a metaphor with everybody, because metaphors help us remember, they help us retain, and they really help us to impact, you know, where we're headed. So a metaphor for what we've talked about today is, if you could imagine a skyscraper that was built on a foundation, and the skyscraper was really, really tall, and at the very top point of the skyscraper, if you could write the letters MDP, which is basically your major definite purpose for your life. And it can be money, it can include family, it can include freedom, it can include health. It doesn't have to just be one or the other, right? T. Harv Eker says, well, poor people think in terms of either or, wealthy people think in terms of and. So you put whatever you want to put in the top of that skyscraper. But the point is, we know what kind of skyscraper we're building because we've determined what our purpose is. And then if you can imagine, below that skyscraper is a foundation. And what is the foundation of this skyscraper major definite purpose life we're building? The foundation is the thoughts that we choose to think, and the fact we, one of the things we got to remember is, as Nicole pointed out, is the thoughts that we think, are they useful in building the building that we want to build? So are they relevant? Are they useful? Are they a brick we can add into that foundation, or when we think them, are they not useful? Are they untrue? Are they completely irrelevant? And in that case, if you could just imagine that we're pulling bricks out of the foundation of that major definite purpose that we're building. Obviously, the choice seems to be pretty obvious. We want to be adding bricks into the foundation that are going to allow us to build the skyscraper of a life that we have chosen to build, that's directed by the very peak, what's in that major definite purpose. So, hey, listen, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Let's get out there, make it an awesome day, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Great call, Paul.
Have a great day.
Get fired up, ladies and gentlemen.
I love you guys.
Love you guys back.
Boom, boom.
Have a great day.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.
My life, man.
I love my life, too. Appreciate that.
I love that.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate you, Paul.
Thank you, Pat.
Always
thank you, guys.
Always share possibilities.
I love that. Possibilities everywhere, all around us, every second.
I love you guys.
Oh, Paul, go!
The best call ever. Because we have the best people.
Oh, you're awesome, buddy.
That's why.